Welcome to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. Join Dr. Allison House of House Dental in Scottsdale and Sean Zayas, founder of Zana, a company helping dentists extend their care beyond the chair as they lead dentists deeper along the journey of authenticity to reach greater fulfillment in their professional lives and to deliver remarkable patient experiences. At the core of the Authentic Dentist is a belief that the answer to the current challenges in dentistry is dentists discovering that their greatest asset and point of differentiation is their personal brand, and that forming that brand out of their authentic selves is the best strategy for success in dentistry today.
Hey guys, this is Sean and Dr. Allison House with the Authentic Dentist Podcast. And today we're going to talk about the power of language. And I think everything that kind of undergirds that, because I think it's fascinating how, why do we use the language we use? Well, most of it, I think, is even tied to our beliefs. But how did this whole topic even come about?
So I've talked about Habitudes before. You can buy them on Amazon, or there's a website called Habitudes. They're little books, and you read a story and you answer the questions. And I use them with lots of people, with people I'm mentoring, and I use them in my office. So we had this Habitude on Wednesday at our last meeting, and it was about the language that you use in your home, the language you use and how it impacts. And there,
but the application was actually for home.
It's for business, home, wherever you are. But it was talking about, like, first of all, I was talking about slogans. So the example was in 1954, Winston Cigarettes put out this slogan called "Taste Good Like a Cigarette Should." And that made their sales just go through the roof. I didn't know that cigarettes tasted, but apparently Winston tastes good. And people repeated that. And then that became, even if it was true or not true, people believed that. It got ingrained. And the other part of the Habitude was talking about a Navy ship. And on the ship, in the military, they looked for things that you were doing wrong to correct. So there was a negative language on the ship. And when they decided to make a change so that it would be positive, so that it would catch people doing things right and encourage them rather than catch people doing things wrong and discourage. Kind of the carrot versus the stick. But it made a huge difference in the culture of the ship, and it changed the way they felt about each other, just the language that they used. And I thought that was fascinating because, I don't know, I have to be careful about how I talk to myself, how I talk to people around me, that I'm using positive language, that I'm making people feel good instead of making people feel bad, including myself.
Well, and I just think there's so many levels to kind of like break this down or explore it, because last week when we were podcasting, at the end of it, somehow just when we were talking, you're like, oh, Sean, I'm sure your parents, there's things that they said all the time that you just remember. And that even goes back to like language, like what were they, were those little memorable jingles or those memorable slogans that were family slogans, even like, were those positive or those negative? Why did they stick with us? And you were just shooting off some. Do you remember what some of those were?
I mean, I don't know what I said last week, but I can remember lots of them from my family. I like the good ones. I try and focus on the good ones. Like my dad used to say, just be better than you were yesterday. That's all I'm asking. Just be better than you were yesterday. Perfection is a myth. And I love that. And so when I'm really struggling a day, I just remember I am better than I was yesterday. And tomorrow I'll be even better.
And I think that's what I'm saying. Like the power of these being tied to what we believe. Oh my gosh, I was just thinking of this connection and, oh no, yes. So Patrick Bet-David, are you familiar with him?
I'm not.
He's a really successful businessman that then has this podcast and like wildly famous. He's interviewed everyone from, well, just a lot of people. And he even kind of weighs in politically a little bit now. But again, I think like either like hundreds of millions or like billion-dollar industry. So like really successful guy. And he's like, the one word we were never allowed to say in our family was the T word. We were completely against it. There's under no circumstances was this allowed. And people are like, what is
the T word?
The T word. Tired.
Oh.
We were never allowed to say that we were tired. I don't say that I'm tired. That word is not in my vocabulary, because I always have the energy for what I've committed to and what I'm doing. And it was just, it's not just language. Around that language is a whole way of being. And what you allow in your language is also possibly what you allow in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so if you tell yourself all the time, I'm tired, I hate this, it doesn't take long before you believe it. And if you tell yourself, I love this, this is amazing, you believe that too. I mean, you can kind of convince yourself of anything. We're very malleable that way. And I think it's the same thing with like my team and my family. If I say, wow, I love how you did that, they'll keep doing it because that's an encouraging, a good thing. But if I say, oh, you suck, you really suck today, that's not. And they internalize that. Because I think all of us want to feel some place in our lives where we're being successful and we're doing well at home, at work, wherever we are. We want some place where we're doing something well and we're encouraged.
Well, I think that's part of almost like what you bring attention to grows, almost like as if attention is light or nurturing. And my pastor, you know, he's been my pastor since 2006, Asian pastor, I think they're Chinese. Completely Chinese. And he's like, yeah, like my mom really believed that like the more you put down and belittle, it's almost like you're doing good for your kids if you actually put them down. Because if you try to encourage them, it's almost like then the world has to bring them down. Who knows where that belief came from? But it's like, so everything was
old belief. I can tell you my grandmother was like that.
Everything was like, I don't know, I need to harden them up. I need to make them strong by saying everything that's bad about them. And back to the whole Navy culture thing, it's like my dad had the same management principle as he's growing up, where it's like one of his greatest mentors, catch people doing the right thing. So instead of policing people and waiting for them to break the code of conduct or slide a little bit lower than the ethical standard of excellence than we care about, and then bringing that up and catching them, and that's what your focus is on. It's like, you know, you did a really great job when no one was looking, or you know, we just noticed you've been so consistent on this, or look how, you know, and all of a sudden they start developing a sense of pride in what they're doing simply because of like what you're focusing on. But how does that get expressed in the language we're choosing to use? And I think this has so much application when it comes to like the language of our office culture, whether it's my business culture or your practice culture. Like, do you think?
Well, it can't just be me. See, it has to catch like wildfire. And everyone in your office is saying that. So everyone in your office is catching other people doing things well and encouraging them. And then it's a nice place to come to work. I don't feel like I'm being bullied or belittled. Every time I come in, somebody says, hey, you did a really nice job on that crown prep.
Do you guys have like a list of words we don't say? Because I mean, we don't.
No, I don't think we have no, there's not a list of things we don't say. There's a list of things that we do say whenever we want to encourage people. And we just hired somebody on Monday. So that's part of why I'm thinking about it. Our last person, and she was a nice girl. She really was, but she was 20. And I think she struggled with the working environment that we had. So we hired somebody a little more mature with a little more experience. I think that, but then we did a better job this time of onboarding her about the culture of the office, the expectations, and that we wanted her to grow. You know, sometimes an assistant will say, well, I'm just an assistant. Well, you know what an assistant does? An assistant is a big job. You know, there's an encouragement there. This is a big job. You have a big role in this office. You're important. And I'm going to pay you accordingly. And I want you to learn and grow and mature here. And that's a different feeling than, well, you're just an assistant. You're replaceable. You know? So I think that there's things that we do say, not necessarily things we don't say.
I was just thinking of even different contexts of like, I know one of the verses that's been one of my mainstays is like, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that got instilled on me early on from my parents of like wisdom. Like, you want to know what's in someone's heart? Just listen to what they say. But just from like a purely practical standpoint, let's say you're about to hire someone, it's like you can tell if someone has like victim language or like empowerment language. And I feel like it's indicting to me right now because there's parts of my life where I still, it's almost like I'm still casting a vote for my own limiting beliefs and what I'm choosing to say to the people closest to me and what I say to myself. And it's like, are you familiar with like the Enneagram?
Yeah.
So one of the authors of the Enneagram resources, I don't know the guy's name right now, but he has this book called The Story of You. And one of the basic premises is if you want to change a person, the easiest way for change management is story management. Because if you start living a different story, you naturally will change. But what's a story made up of?
It's your perception of what happened, which can be malleable, can be changed. You can tell the story of how you're a victim and how life is terrible, or you can tell the story of, and I overcame this. I can do anything. Watch me. I can do this. And it's a different feeling. It's a different perception. Same person, but I want to hire the person that is interested in, I can do anything. I've overcome all of this stuff, rather than, it's always bad. I'm always the victim. That's not the same energy. It doesn't feel good.
Well, think of it even like with dating. If you remember that.
I can't even remember that. It's my 31st wedding anniversary. I can't remember that.
Well, so when you're thinking of your kids and when they were, you know, because one of them's married, one's not, when they're with significant others, and it's like what you're telling them is like, don't do all the talking, like meaning, because it's obvious for the other person, if one person is doing all the talking and they think they're like the best thing in the world, or they don't, like meaning like you can tell simply by listening to the language people choose to use in life. And I'm not talking about like derogatory versus, I'm just saying like, yeah, I am statements. What does someone say when they say something like I am? I'm just the kind of person that doesn't what? Oh, I don't really follow through. I'm just not that kind of person.
Well, then that's the person that you become.
Right.
I am the person that follows through. And I do. And sometimes that's hard on me. But I also never try and do, because I don't know if you grew up, sometimes you grow up with that negative voice in your head that's like in the back.
Sometimes.
I did. I grew up with a negative voice in the back of my head who was my grandmother. And that was hard to overcome. And so there does seem to be this little voice in me that will tell me I'm not good. And so then I have to switch to my dad's voice of, yes, yesterday didn't go well, but tomorrow will be better. You just have to keep looking at it that way. But it does define who you are if you allow the negative voice to define who you are.
What a gift that you actually had a father. Like, I can think of so many songs where it's like, you were more than the words of your father. That's Even Meant to Live by Switchfoot. I think it came out in the early 2000s. And I remember that was their breakthrough song. And it just resonated with so many people. It was all about, you were meant to live for so much more. But, and then at the very end, we were more than the words of our fathers. And it's just like, oh, like, I know that strikes a chord with so many people because of the dad that maybe expected the most from their kids and didn't know. So it's like this tough love and come on, you can do better. And in that, I believe you can do more. It came out of like, you're not enough and you're not, you know, it came out harsh. And the fact that your soundtrack of inspiration is your dad, what a gift.
It's a huge gift. And you know, you don't realize that until you're much older.
But did you have to curate that? Like,
what do you mean?
In all honesty, were there certain tracks that you just chose not to listen to of your dad just being human where you're like, yeah, that wasn't really him. So let me just curate the best of that. I know what's true about my dad. Or did he never make a mistake and say things negative?
He was totally perfect every moment of every day for my entire life.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying how much curation was like, I'm choosing to take just the gold from him, or have you not actually, was it not intentional? Just kind of.
I think it's part definitely that I'm curating the good in him, but it's also that he did acknowledge when something went wrong. And I always appreciated that he would just say, I'm human. I've made a mistake. I'm sorry. And I don't think very many parents in the 70s and 80s did that. So that was a nice thing for me. I appreciated that. And it allowed me to see him to be human. And yet he always had good words of wisdom. My dad was older. He was back in the day. I mean, he was so old to have kids. He was 35 when he had me.
Oh,
I mean, that was just ancient.
That's crazy.
But for sure, in context of the timing, that
was ancient. Yeah.
So at practices was like, yes. Is that your grandma?
Is that like, my grandma? No, that's my dad. So yeah, there was definitely that issue.
Because he would have been 50 when the other parents were maybe like 35.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a big age difference.
But he was also.
He was a huge, huge man. But he'd been a coach since he was 19 or 20. And I think when I came along and he had to coach a girl because he decided that he wanted to have me weightlift. I started weightlifting at 6 years old. He taught me how to play baseball. I mean, I played every sport. He learned that girls are different. And the way he coached me, I think, translated into a lot of other ways. And so he became an even more phenomenal coach because he was stuck coaching this little girl that if he told me I was bad, I would cry. He was like, there's no crying in baseball. What are you doing? But you tell a little girl she's not doing well at 6, she's going to cry. So it changed the way he coached. And I was the benefactor of that, which was nice.
Oh my gosh. That just reminded me. It's like I'm a certain way with like my boys. And I came across with the same masculine energy and tone to my daughter, Maya. And she just crumbled. And I saw it in her eyes. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, it was so sad because I was just like, oops, I'm so sorry. Like, I was still in this mode of like, oh, you're all my kids. Yeah, yeah. But these aren't my boys. And not that my boys have very, at least Elijah, very tender. So it's not like it's a, okay, let's workshop this just a tiny bit because we never have and why not? Okay, so think of either an I am statement or some self-talk that you don't feel is serving you that you can level up. Because we're always in pursuit of challenging ourselves. And so I was like, in the midst of this episode, it's like, man, I mentioned that I think some of my language is still kind of victim because I look at 15 years of not hitting the expectations that I had on myself. Or, you know, oftentimes, like, why do I hear from other people, oh, you're being so hard on yourself? Why is that their observation? What are they hearing me say that I must be being hard on myself?
I think we, as high achievers, we do that. And there has to be this, it's a give and take. I am expecting a lot out of myself and I'm going to push myself to be better, but I'm not going to destroy myself for what I've done in the past because I didn't know better. And I also try and look at, say, so I thought, you know, I should make this certain amount by the time I was 50. But when I look at when I graduated from high school, I thought, I can make $30,000 a year. Whew, that would be awesome. Well, $30,000 is nothing now. But at the time,
it's below minimum wage.
I was making $3 an hour. So that was a lot of money. So you also have to look at the perspective of your expectations continue to change, which means they continue to be higher. You've met all the expectations you had at one time, but you just continue to want more and more and more, which there's nothing wrong with. But you got to give some grace to, hey, I have accomplished a lot of things that I set out to accomplish. And now I want to accomplish more. So there's a grace. And I guess that's back to my dad and the weightlifting. You know, you dream of the day I can bench this much or the day I can clean and jerk this much. And then when you do, you're like, oh, I could do more. And so you can't say, well, that was nothing. It's not important. No, it was a milestone. I got it. And now I'm going to keep going. One of the harder things about being 50 is that I can't, that's no longer true. Like, I'm not going to be stronger next year than I was at 49. Because we're kind of at that tipping point where now I just would like to maintain. And so that's a different strategy for me to start looking at. But in different areas, that may be true. I'm going to maintain here and I'm going to grow here because, I mean, I'm not going to get stronger at this point.
So I feel like you're at an interesting place where your story probably has changed. Like, meaning, like, did you just turn 50?
Yeah. I just turned 50.
Was I at that party?
You were. My husband's awesome. He gave me a good big party. It was very cool.
Oh, big party. So knowing that you're in this new decade, And even with your practice, it's like, I don't know. This is like a glory decade, I feel like, of impact, of fulfillment, of like you almost like when Tom Brady was still playing, he's like, yeah, the reason why I'm still playing is I have the answers to the test. So why would I not keep taking it? Like, it's fun. I'm not having to figure out again, like HR woes, because I know how to listen to my team. I know how to believe in them. Like, there's so many things you do right that.
But he probably wasn't building as much muscle, you know, so there's a give and take. Age is beautiful.
No, but sorry, my point is, in this next decade, almost like a new chapter of your book, a story is the bridge that takes us to the place we want to go. And that story has new language that we need to embrace, new beliefs we need to embrace in order to get to where we want to go. So what is some of the language that's on this new bridge or new story for you for this chapter of your life?
Well, I mean, I talked a little bit about success at the last one, and I do feel like my definition of success is changing. When I was in my 30s and 40s, a big piece of my success was being a mom. And so my practice was important and I was growing it, but I was not investing as much time and effort into growth there as I was into parenting, because that was my season. That was what was happening in my life. And now my children are grown. Everybody's off the payroll, which is so cool. I have no grandchildren. So I'm at a point in my life where I can really mature and grow in my practice. And so I'm expecting to be successful this decade. Things could change. I don't know. But that is my dream, and that's my hope, and that's what I'm working towards. And there was nothing wrong with what I did in my 40s. I'm not going to beat myself up that I didn't buy a new piece of equipment in my 40s because I was busy being a mom. So there's some grace there, and there's not going to be any judgment. There's just, this is what's happening now.
Well, now, I was just thinking, like, so as a mom, maybe one of the words that would have been categorically a theme over motherhood would be like exhausted. Right? Like that's a word that fitly, aptly describes a season. And now I don't know if that word has to be there. And yet I'm just saying, like, I don't know, like almost like giving yourself permission to be like, wow, I think I can live in a way that I don't have to embrace that as a word that describes this chapter of my life. Because do you want that? Like, would you want to not have exhaustion being something that's kind of like looming?
I don't want to be exhausted. It's true. But at 50, I can tell you that I'm paying a lot more attention to my body. And so I do use the word tired. And so when I'm tired, I need to go to bed. I'm not, when somebody asks me to go to dinner at 8 p.m., I don't want to do that. I want to go to bed at 9 because I'm going to listen to my body a little more than I did in my 20s. But you're right. It's the language that I use. If I describe myself as exhausted all the time, I kind of am. I fit whatever I've described. If you tell your team that they're terrible and they're not doing a good job, or even if you just think it all the time, that's not encouraging. That's not what you want. Whatever language you use to describe yourself, your team, your kids, your husband is kind of what happened. So it's important to reevaluate all that.
Thank you for listening to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. To join Allison and Sean on this journey, hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode. Here's to your success. Express yourself fully. Live authentic.